Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowicz. How are you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
Good. We were just talking in the commercial break.
About?
It's been today, 40 years ago.
I don't know how you know that, Cliff Clavin.
The Littlest Hobo, that show came out on CTV.
Okay.
That's fantastic. 40 years. Then I found out that you're the actual main character, and you've been running for 40 years. That's fantastic. Yeah, just going from town to town.
Yeah. All you're doing is you're dating us, man. Like,
I'm dating you. I'm stating a fact. I'm dating you. Yeah, okay, that's the difference.
Enough. Thank you. Appreciate that. That's a great way to start the show. All right. Now that we've established that I'm an old dog.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit about, well, it's an interesting show, I guess. We're going to talk about technology again. We'd like to get an update on a regular basis. Technology changes very quickly.
Yes.
You and I both agree that technology is going to play an important role.
Huge.
In our society, particularly even this demographic called baby boomers that are retiring, in all aspects, medical, healthcare, safety, right, transportation.
Communication.
Companionship.
Yeah.
Right? There's all these different areas it's going to touch, and so we're going to get an update on that. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk a little bit about, off air, we were talking about the days of our lives. So, you know, kind of what happened. I'm going to call it Groundhog Day because we're going to talk about stuff that we have to talk about because it's influencing markets, but it's getting boring to talk about. So we're going to have to be careful about how we talk about this going forward. Yeah. You know, you saw the markets trading around headline news.
Again.
Headline speculation.
Again.
Around, are we making progress on a trade deal or are we not making progress on a trade deal, right? And, you know, at some point, I assume there will be a conclusion of this, but I got to imagine listeners are just going, oh, I'm getting exhausted about hearing about this, but we can't not talk about it because it's affecting markets.
Correct. And it's a sensitivity point. This is the one major news story that all eyes are on, and they want to see progress. They want to see both sides saying we're getting it to a deal.
Right. Something.
On Friday, the president of China came out and said, yeah, we want a deal, but we're prepared to retaliate if necessary. So now it's one step forward, two steps back, and then it turns into two steps forward, one step back, and you're like, right, we're not getting anywhere yet. Well, and there are too many people out there now are saying, this is not going to get done by the end of the year.
Right.
This is now a 2020 story,
right,
and now we're heading into an election. And maybe there's going to be people saying they're doing it wrong and we need to find a different way to negotiate.
Right.
And that might derail the whole conversation again. So the sensitivity out there is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are reacting to the headline story and they're either buying or selling or they're mitigating risk or whatever it may be because of it.
Well, and it's a lot of political theater. I mean, we can certainly talk about the trade deal, but, you know, you've got the impeachment. You know, headlines constantly going on. We've got, you know, the election coming up in the UK and the political theater around that. I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? People.
Correct.
And I just talking to people this week, they're exhausted, right? What are you supposed to do? And it's almost we're getting desensitized to it at some point.
Yeah.
And then there's the conversation around, is the market pricing the risk properly and so on and so forth. All important conversations.
So right now, the market is not pricing anything because volatility metrics or the measurement, it's called a VIX, is at an all-time low pretty much.
Right.
And so the market is not saying be careful.
Right.
They're saying be patient.
Right. So that's a good segue into a piece that we were talking about again off-air about a hedging strategy.
Yes.
Right? Some headline news here about a big hedge fund making what would be to most of us taking a pretty big position, like hedging against downside risk in the next 3 months.
So let's see what the headline first said, and
sure,
then we'll talk about the details, because the headline around many of the media channels was largest hedge fund manager is betting $1 billion, that's with a B, on the markets falling in the next 3 months.
Right.
When you dig into exactly what they're doing is they're basically hedging their positions.
Right.
To protect themselves in the event of a downturn.
Yeah, that's effectively portfolio insurance that they're doing. But it is interesting when you think about the headline, right? How it gets presented in the
Correct.
In the press. And the headline probably appears to be very different from what Dalio is talking about.
Correct.
You know, the leader of the hedge fund and what he's talking about they're actually doing.
Yep. Walk through what he's trying to accomplish and then let the listeners understand that we have to kind of read past 140 characters.
Yeah,
you know, well, like that's what we've been accustomed to. Just read the first headline, and then not go into the meat of the story.
Yeah.
The meat of the story is what?
Well, the details are effectively a portfolio insurance. I just want to protect against a concern that they have, whatever that concern may be. Any investor could have whatever concern they have about a short-term pullback. And so there's different ways that you can do that. An investor or a hedge fund can do that. One is you can sell all your equities, right, if you felt that was the issue. And we have that conversation with people a lot, right, just this last week. In fact, last week's show, we were talking about, should you sell all your equities?
Yeah.
Well, now you're making a big timing bet. So in this particular case, what they're doing is they're it'd be more complicated than this, but on balance, so they're layering in a put option strategy to protect against if the market did pull back in that point, just minimizing the volatility, the impact it'll have in that short term.
Without putting all their capital towards it.
Correct. And without making a big timing bet and a massive reallocation in their assets.
And this is what everybody needs to ask about their portfolio. What if the markets crash? What's going to happen to me?
Right.
And what I find is many Canadians cross their fingers and hope it doesn't happen.
Right.
That's their portfolio strategy.
Well,
there's a lot of investments, a lot of investment advisors. There's a lot of do-it-yourself investors that are so focused on the long term that a short-term pullback, and I mean 20%, can decimate their income in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that when you're transitioning to or living in retirement. So ask the question, if my portfolio fell more than 20%, let's use that number as a good benchmark, what would happen? And what am I going to do about it?
Right.
Even if it may not pan out, it's always nice to have insurance. We all have insurance on our homes and our cars.
Right.
Car insurance there for in case of an accident.
Right.
You don't plan for it, but if it happens, how do you protect yourself? And that's money out the window if you don't have an accident, right?
Like right.
You've lost that money.
So it's an interesting business that we're in and that investors are in, mm-hmm. in general. And retail investors, people like you and me and the people listening to this show, typically behave differently than institutional investors. It's not to say every time, it's a broad stroke, but in general terms. But it's a long-term business with short-term emotion that affects us, right? And it's the short-term emotion that screws everything up in the long term, potentially, right, if you go down that path. And so when you look at these institutional guys and you dig into the details of, say, this headline as an example, right, $1 billion sounds like a lot of money to you and me, but for the biggest hedge fund manager in the world, keep it in perspective, okay? That's not what it is to you and me.
Correct.
And so there's a portion of their portfolio that they're trying to hedge out a specific risk on. Now, that risk may be one thing. You know, the risk that we often talk about is an income risk for people that are retiring. You got to fund a lifestyle, right? And so you need to hedge some of the volatility risk that you may experience in an equity portfolio to supply predictable, sustainable income, right? It's the same thing. So we harp on this all the time, and this is part of the educational message that we take out to the Calgary public every single month, is proper structure, right, from a strategy perspective, actually makes a difference over the long term and protects you against making those short-term mistakes.
Yeah, I use the analogy of a vehicle. In every vehicle, you need three major parts. You need the accelerator or the gas pedal, you need the brake, and you need an airbag.
Right.
How come people's portfolios don't have that same respect?
Right.
What's your airbag
in
your portfolio? That's the question that needs to be asked time and time again, is if something happens like a crash, what's going to deploy and try to protect me as much as possible?
And I want to take that even further. It's about you have to recognize that is, again, I'm going to talk about sort of this moving into retirement. You have multiple goals now, right? When we're younger, we always talk about this idea that I just want the assets that I'm saving to grow. Everybody has the same objective for those assets. Just get bigger over time. But when you move into retirement, it's getting more complex because you have multiple goals that you're trying to address. Yeah. And those multiple goals require different approaches. You have to invest differently to achieve predictability and sustainability of income than you do to offset, you know, or to gather long-term growth. And so don't try to do that in one broad stroke. You need you have to hedge different risks. You have to approach each of these goals differently from a financial and a lifestyle perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical. And it's a good analogy of what they're trying to do, whatever risk they're trying to hedge against, whether it's short-term volatility. I want to challenge everybody to think about the risks that they want to mitigate in their life. And that's what you want to take to your advisory team on a constant basis. Here's what's going on in my life. Here's what I'm nervous about. What do we do about this?
Yeah.
Right? How do I achieve these goals?
Correct. And then we'll be discussing all that at our next seminar. And we'll be talking about this five-pillar investment strategy approach, how to profit and protect right. along the way, how, I'm going to say this many times in the presentation, losing less is making more. Mm. And that's a very important piece in money management. And we're going to do that on Tuesday, December 3rd, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats. So give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Stick around to hear how technology is advancing to help you and me and our parents as they age. You're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money.